This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisan. Now, we are in the second last week of 2020. Tomorrow is Christmas Day, so a very happy Christmas Eve to everyone out there and hope you all have a good weekend ahead. But before you get into the holiday spirit, today we're going to do a little bit of a roundup of the core pillars of financial planning. Yes, I know, not the most festive of topics, but it's going to be very essential, especially if you want to kick off 2021 on a strong foot. And to help me with this, I'm speaking with Samantha Yeo, licensed financial planner with Wealth Vantage Advisory. Sam, welcome to Ringgit and Cents.
Hi, Roshan.
So, Sam, you know, we often hear that financial planning is important, right? And I think this year has shown the importance of planning, especially for emergencies and unexpected surprises. Could you tell us what an actual financial plan is and what it covers?
So what is financial planning is actually all about? So an actual financial plan is valuable by creating a roadmap to determine both of our short-term and long-term financial goal, and also able to provide us a holistic view of our financial situations in order to able to achieve a financially healthy, especially this year if you actually have an experience. If you have your financial planning before pandemic, I believe that most of us will have a balanced portfolio in terms of our asset classes, then in this case, you may actually not fall into the situation of short of cash at this time, which you will actually able to take charge of your financial in a more lenient way. Yeah. So in a financial planning, what is actually, what does it cover? First thing first is you must be able to understand your income first. Then once your inflow is in, then the next thing is, what is your cash flow? What is your outflow? So what are all the expenses is? So this is most of the things that most of the people will actually talk about it. But I would like to highlight one thing. In financial planning, the most important thing is you must have a financial understanding. You must have a better financial understanding, which you will be able to achieve how to measure your financial goal that you would like to set and the effective of how you make a decision. And how to review the result after you actually make a decision. So in this, I would like to say that it will give you a whole new approach to your budget and improving what you can actually take control of your financial lifestyle.
Right. Sam, I do want to get into the other pillars in just a little bit, but I want to give the listeners here some actionable tips right now. When we take a look at the financial understanding part, let's say I'm taking out a piece of paper right now. I've got a pen in my hand. What do I need to go and pay attention to and start getting these details out?
Okay, first thing first, I will actually highlight it is about your cash flow management. So let's put into a personal health condition, a body. So the most important thing, if your heart is healthy, your most of your health condition will be healthy because you have a good blood circulation, it will leading you with a good health condition. Same goes to cash flow management in financial. If you have a good inflow, you manage it with a good outflow, you read your good self-awareness on how to optimize your active incomes, right? You will actually not trap into unnecessary financial risk. I give you an example, what is unnecessary financial risk? Example, you will be able to get yourself transfer out your financial risk to third party, like get yourself protected on risk management, and you will be able to actually review, I shouldn't be taking any loans that which cost me a high financial cost. Yeah, because we need to pay high interest charges. So if we are actually have this awareness on that, and we were able to actually leads us to good financial health situations, indirectly it will help us to actually building up, we will have a good, better cash flow in terms of building up our capital to go for investment. So in short, a good cash flow management, we will be able to have surplus. Indirectly, we were able to help us to grow our liquid assets as well.
Yeah, so let me just put this out there in context here. When the importance of putting all this on a list is so that you can see that. And then as Sam says, you get that awareness over what you're doing, right? Yep. You get that awareness because sometimes when it's all in your head, there's no real connection between the different elements of your personal finances, but they're all so interconnected. So I guess the first thing is you can do, take out that pen and paper. And I know this sounds tedious and it sounds like a pain to do, but you just have to get started. And once you get started, you start realizing the other parts of your finances you should be getting aware of. And I think it's a great start. Yeah. And I've personally seen my friends do this, and it's a very, just getting started can lead to very powerful results later on.
Yeah. Basically, when you can see it in visual, then it will actually help you to actually make it happen, because people love to see in visual. Once you're actually able to see your ratio, then you're able to diagnose what is your current situation.
So, you know, when we take a look at the pillars, Sam, some of the pillars are cash flow management, as we've just talked about. There's investing, there's protection, there's tax planning, and estate planning. Now, before we move on to the other topics, what are your top three tips for cash flow management? Some things that are actionable for everyone today.
Okay, so mostly, most of the people will say, hey, first thing first, you must actually keep your you must be able to actually review your personal budget. First, fix monthly expenses in, how much is your regular fixed expenses, non-regular expenses. All this is most of the common things that are actually, most of the people will share, and you can easily Google from YouTube. But I would like to highlight one thing, which most of the people are not aware of. It's a real situation that happened to me. What I say is self-awareness approach, Roshan. So what is self-awareness approach? First thing first, you must understand your money's problem. Common money problems point to need, there is a need to shift our mindset. So recently, I actually have a very, very positive outcomes from one of the clients. 3 years down the road, when I actually met her, one of the key messages that she actually shared with me is, Sam, I trapped into debts. In fact, I have a good income. I am at T20s level, but I have my personal debts. I have actually a deficit in terms of my inflow. Then I asked her, hey, what caused all these personal loan and credit card debts? One thing, her self-awareness is, I tak boleh tengok ada duit kat account saya, Sam. Reason is, once I see I have the access of funding, I feel like I am rich. When I feel I am rich, I started to buy things. So, Roshan, you see that that's cause, self-awareness cause changes needed, you know. So, throughout the first level of what we do in terms of cash flow management, the important tip is, we get the buy-in, the awareness of shift of the mindset. The secondly is, we help these clients to actually solve the issue of remove all the outstanding loan by refinancing the home equity to offset the high interest rates debts first. Then, because of this action, we are able to help her to review her cash flow management by increasing from deficit to surplus. So from 3 years down the road, from only can save 11% truly based on EPF ratio, currently she is at 30% saving ratio from cash and EPF perspective. So what is that means too? The self-awareness approach is one of the important thing is, first thing first, before the financial planner able to actually solve your problem, you yourself must be able to diagnose where are you right now. And what is your money story? So what we actually would like to highlight to everyone in terms of cash flow management, first thing first, you must find out your money blueprint. That's the whole story in terms of the tips that I would like to highlight in terms of the cash flow management.
So Sam, that is your top tip, I guess, right? That self-awareness about our own money narratives. And I really, really love this point because we have to be aware of our own flaws and our own biases. And then we can start to solve those and create systems around it. Sam, we're going into a few messages right now, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about protection and investment in just a little bit. I've been speaking with Samantha Yeo, licensed financial planner with Wealth Vantage Advisory. Keep it here to Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Ring It In Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanesan. This morning, I'm speaking with Samantha Yeo, licensed financial planner with Wealth Vantage Advisory, and we're talking about the core pillars of financial planning as part of the wrap-up to 2020. So for the first part of this, Sam, we were predominantly talking about cash flow management and the different ways to go about it. Now I want to talk about what I consider to be one of the most essential things when it comes to financial planning: protection. What are the common mistakes that you've seen when it comes to insurance and protection?
Most of them, they do not review their insurance coverage regularly. Let's say the basic is when your income needs is increasing or your life changes, like you have a newborn baby. In fact, your family income required to review. But most often, a lot of people actually do not review it. They just bought it since they are young. Maybe they hold one or two policies until they are actually come to age 40. Then only they realize that their coverage is insufficient. Or either some of them, they bought too much of policy, which the coverage is not actually, the needs of the coverage is actually over-insured, that caused the impact in terms of the cash flow issue. Yeah. So another part is some of it actually take it, the protection as a saving. If you actually heard about a saving plan, most of the people love to actually pay short-term premium, like example, 5 years, 6 years term in terms of saving. Then they actually thought that by putting in this saving, I actually get myself insured as well. And these are all the common mistakes that we actually see happens to most of Malaysians.
Right. So just to round up here, it's also about getting that efficiency of your insurance, right? To make sure that the premium you pay is, you're getting the most bang for your buck with every ringgit of premium you pay, but at the same time, making sure that you have enough coverage, right? So the important thing about insurance is you want to protect your loved ones in case, or yourself, in case anything happens. You get something like permanent, total permanent disability or life insurance if you want to protect yourself if something happens, protect you or your family if something should happen to you and if you're the breadwinner. Those are some of the key things you want to pay attention to. It's about protecting that income stream and your family financially, at least in for a certain amount of time. Now, another thing that's very important, Sam, when we talk about protecting the family, if, say, something should happen to you, is estate planning. What do you think, and this is, you know, this, when it comes to estate planning, it's something that most people don't like talking about for a variety of reasons, why either they consider it morbid or whatever else. Now, we don't have time to get into all the aspects of estate planning. So let's talk about the three biggest mistakes that you often see when it comes to this.
Okay, first thing first, most of the people do not think it's important for estate planning. Indirectly, unconsciously, they thought that death will not happen to them. Yeah, so this is very common issue. And second is, they only have this awareness when there is a triggering events happens, like illnesses. So throughout the past 5 years experience, right, we have actually came across three cases that we signing the will in the hospital. So that caused stress for both parties, in fact. As a financial planner, when we already aware that the situation of the clients, we tend to actually push most of the progress in terms of getting the first draft of the will right, just within 2 to 3 days time. That may cause a mistake in terms of the information that we are actually putting in or personal data that we are actually collecting. And also the advice, we may actually cause stress on that. Recent cases that once we done the signing, within 2 months time, the client passed away. Yeah, so this is happens to Malaysians. We have more than three cases happen.
Now, if you want some tips on how to write a good will, I've actually got an episode from from last year on Ring and Sense. It's called What Makes a Great Will? Just search that up on the BFM app or bfm.my. Sam, some really good points that you've made there. Essentially, when it comes to protection and estate planning, the only time to get it done is before something happens to you. You can't write a will from the afterlife, and you certainly can't get protection if something already happens to you. I think most cases, that's the situation. That's before we get into the investment aspect, I want to quickly talk about tax planning. Give us your top do's and don'ts when it comes to tax planning.
Okay, there are two types of employment. One is self-employed, one is employee. For employee, it's very straightforward because you actually have your potongan cukai bulanan every month. What we actually need to do is to be aware on how to maximize the tax relief. Yeah. So often the do one is you need to be aware of your current situations, like whoever have access, for have kids, let's look into SSPN. Whoever actually have high tax bracket, 25% and above, you have already put aside your emergency funding. You have actually have a good financial position. PRS is something that you can actually help out for you to save. Estimate if your tax bracket is at 25%, you can save 750 from tax. So other than that, what we need to be aware of are the lifestyle. Recently, we have a very high demand in terms of the Penjana additional lifestyle, which is extra 2005 to get yourself into gadget, desktop or iPad, all this. So a lot of people tend to actually overlook on, is it needs or is it one? Mm. So they tend to ask us to do, asking us an opinion, should I maximize this lifestyle from 2005 originally and max it into 5,000. So what we see is actually ultimately you need to back to your own financial situations. So another category is about self-employed. So a self-employed, in fact, either they actually do their tax computation and actually come out how much is the total needs that they need to actually pay for their tax. But ultimately, I would like to encourage everyone to actually participate on CP 500, which is you need to contribute your is something some sort of like BCB. It's just that you pay every 2 months. And so the calculation is based on your projected income that you will receive from Lembaga Hasil every year in January, that they will actually do the computation based on your historical income. Then from there, either you can actually pay accordingly or you are actually can actually do an appeal based on your projected income for that particular year. So with that, right, you can actually do your monthly cash flow management is in a better way rather than you will need to... We are trying to avoid you to pay a big amount during the month of May to August every year. So this is what we actually advise in terms of the tax portion.
And that's particularly for the self-employed, right? Because they don't have that monthly deduction from their as employees do. Now, if you want more tax tips here, actually, I had a conversation with Tanamale a few weeks back, and that podcast is called Key Tax Tips for 2021. I'll link all of these in the show notes if you have the time to take a look at it. Now, let's talk about the last thing. And this is probably and arguably the most focused and talked about part of financial planning, whether it's retirement planning or EPF returns or the stock market performance or dividends. People like engaging and talking about investing. So when it comes to a typical financial plan, what are the key investing related components here? And I know we don't have too much time here to discuss this, but so maybe you can give us some of the top highlights from this.
Ultimately, in financial planning, all these components is just a vehicle. But you as an investor, we will actually advise to have a proper asset allocation. I give an example, a moderate conservative risk profile's clients, the allocations or sample of allocation is fixed deposit is about 5%, fixed income is 50%, fixed income is actually conceived of EPF, ASB, double hedging, equity is about 30%, property is about 10%. Others, asset classes is about 5%. What we actually mostly will advise is your alignment in terms of how to optimize your return. Always must be alignment, must have alignment with your risk.
So basically, you have to first, I guess, ascertain what your risk tolerance is, I guess.
Yeah, you are right. Basically, what we need to do is we will have need to identify the current asset classes from the clients versus the real situations of them, then we will actually find out the variance on that.
And what do you see as the most common mistakes when it comes to investing, when it comes to some of the clients that you've had?
Mostly they're focusing, when they make a decision, they're always focusing on return. They are very excited when they heard about return. So the first question they were, hey, how much is the annualized return? So I always actually quote them. I say the delay gratification is always actually applied for cash flow management. I would say I change a bit of the way that I highlight to you. The delay gratification of making investment decisions that I wish everybody can have it. So I always quote them, if you don't want to be average, don't rush into what the crowd is doing. Because most of the people, they will actually become a follower without understanding their own risk appetites and the product features that they're going into. And secondly, mostly they do not review their investment annually. Most of the people, they when they actually either put it into a mutual fund or unit trust, they just keep it there. They do not actually review rebalancing on actually study, is the fund is still performing based on historical return. And lastly, is no proper asset allocations. They often overweight in respective geographically or sectors. That's the common mistake that I am actually always experience.
Now, let's put this all together, Sam, because I know we've covered quite a lot of ground here. Yeah. When we think about everything that we've talked about here, what makes an effective financial plan?
Okay, I make it simple. A financial plan that will able to help you to creating a timeline for you to follow your goals. Ultimately, it is from A point to B point, how long you will take and how much resources that you need to put in and where are you right now? So that you can actually do the things that you want in your life. In short, financial plan is like, you put everything together, it's like your navigators towards your life.
And on that note, Sam, thank you so much for joining me today. And in advance, have a very Merry Christmas tomorrow and a Happy New Year.
Okay, Happy New Year to everyone.
I was speaking with Samantha Yeo, licensed financial planner with Wealth Vantage Advisory, and you've been listening to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kunnison for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.